All right, Psalm 119, and we are going to be picking it up at verse 81 tonight. As I do every week, I just wrestle with, boy, this is a long, long chapter, but I continue just to be amazed at the treasures that are here. And so as we march through this, there are just great blessings for us as we spend time in God's Word. And no matter where it is, God is desiring to speak to us clearly. And I believe that. I trust you believe that. And so tonight, we are going to look at Psalm 81 through 88. Now, as we approach this text, you will find that this text speaks pretty heavily towards those that are suffering. It seems as if, and this is my perspective, there's no clear explanation here, but it seems as if the psalmist is going through some very dark days as he pens these words. Very challenging situation that is going on in his life. He feels persecuted. He feels wronged. He feels as if everybody is out to get him. I would imagine that each of us have felt that way at times in our own lives. Times when we just feel attacked, when things are challenging, when there is a heavy weight all around us and everywhere we look and everywhere we go. It could be something very personal or physical. It could be something emotional. It could be dealing with a relationship. But whatever the case might be, these days happen in our lives. And what I've found and what I believe God seeks to teach us tonight in this text is, how do we handle those days? How do we handle those times? How are we to respond? Or another way you could look at this is, how can we help another to respond in difficult days? How can we be a fellow brother or sister in Christ and to encourage one who's going through a difficult time? So with that as our introduction, I just like to read our text together. And you'll see the psalmist, he's going to state his case. He's going to question God. And then he's going to entreat God. So let's look at this. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help! Help thou me! They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. I trust you kind of heard a little bit of the distress that's coming through the psalmist as he writes here. We see him, he states his case at the beginning here. We see him say, I am feeling exhausted. Have you ever felt that way? I am just plumb worn out. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. Now that word fainteth is literally to be spent up or to be used up, to be failing or to become exhausted. Other translations translate this to long after or to languish. My soul languishes for thy salvation. There is a longing for for God's salvation, but it just seems to be far away to the psalmist. It just doesn't seem to be close. He's feeling exhausted. It's hard to keep on keeping on. You ever felt that way? Just felt exhausted. The struggle is so difficult. It's hard to keep on keeping on. The psalmist continues in stating his case. He says, not only am I feeling exhausted, but I'm feeling just plumb blind. I just cannot see beyond this thing. It's hard to see the truth. Look at this. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word. That word fail is the same exact word as the fainteth in verse 81. So his eyes are exhausted or weary and just having a difficulty seeing God's word. I don't believe that's a physical exhaustion. I believe this is a spiritual and emotional or mental exhaustion of having a difficult time overcoming what is going on around him and embracing the truth of God's word. He's feeling exhausted. He's just feeling blinded. It's hard to see the truth. It's hard to keep on keeping on. And then we see him, he's just feeling dried up, dirty, and useless. The word picture here the psalmist uses in verse 83, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Now, do we talk like that today? Have you ever felt like a bottle in the smoke? Well, maybe after we explain it, you will. This idea of bottle could be a wineskin. And what they would normally do is when they would get a live animal, they would kill the animal. They would skin the animal, but they would just cut the legs off, the tail and the head, and pull the meat out of the skin. So they would have a complete skin, and they would just sew up the little holes, and they would have something to hold, liquid, milk, wine, whatever it might be. So this is like a wineskin. Now in their homes during those days, they would have their cooking fires. And so when they would light the fire, naturally it would be full of what? The house would be full of smoke. And there on the walls would be hanging their wineskins full of their milk or other drinks. And they tell us that what would take place is as the smoke would fill the room day after day after day, these wineskins would become dry. They would become dirty with the soot. And eventually, what happens with leather as it dries? Cracks, doesn't it? It cracks and begins to leak if it's holding any sort of liquid. And so here the psalmist, he says, I am become like a wineskin in the smoke. I am just dirty. I'm just all dried up. And I'm feeling useless. He's having a hard time seeing the truth and remembering the truth. I trust that you can understand a little bit of what the psalmist is communicating here as he states his case before God. He's not in a very good position, is he? He's in a great place of struggle. By way of illustration, I am a firm believer that God does orchestrate events and things in our lives. And even so much as to the different things that we might watch or hear. And just a month or two ago, and I think I've mentioned this in the past, I had the privilege of watching that movie about Corrie ten Boom, The Hiding Place. And I remember watching that, and if you have not seen that, it's just a good film. Chronicling the life of this lady as she sought to help the Jews. And she got caught, thrown into a concentration camp, and the story just tells her story. It tells the events that take place. Well, throughout in that movie, you find her and Betsy, they're in the concentration camp. They were able to be there together. And God, throughout this, has preserved his word in their hands. They were able to get through and keep a copy of his word. And throughout the story, you see them continually running to the word. When they get back to their barracks after a difficult day, you see Betsy opening the word and beginning to read. And people, all these ladies are crowding around just hungry for the truth. In the film, it chronicles a part of Corey's struggle, where she witnessed a beating of her sister and bitterness overcame her. And she found it very difficult to believe in the truth of God's word. The struggle of the camp and the suffering they were going through was clouding her perspective. Betsy, the one who had suffered the abuse, continued to run to the Word and continued to smile, to be cheerful, and to bring great encouragement to the ladies there in the barracks. But it took a while for Corey to work through this process, but it was the Word of God that brought about the change in her heart and life. But this movie kind of describes, or this psalm kind of describes a little bit of what Corey was going through. She's feeling plumb exhausted. She had a hard time just keeping on and holding on to the truth. She was feeling blinded. She was feeling just dried up, dirty, and useless. Well, the psalm continues, and the psalmist writes, after he states his case, he then questions God. Now, have you ever questioned God? Have you ever just, God, what is going on here? Why me? So he cries out with some questions, and look at this here. You see there, verse 82, when wilt thou comfort me? You see in verse 84, how many are the days of thy servant? How much longer am I going to be alive, God? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? You ever felt like that? You see here these questions. See if you identify. How long, O God? How long? Why won't you do something? Do you see what they're doing to me? I mean, you could just picture it. You know, sometimes we get there and we just, if God had a neck, we'd put our hands around his neck and say, don't you see? I mean, that's foolish to think about. But we do. We ask questions of God. And I'm not saying necessarily that it is wrong to ask questions of God, but as we see, we need to make sure that we ask the right questions. The right kind of questions. How long? Why won't you do something? Do you see what they're doing to me? Won't you please help me? Did you catch his plea for help? Help thou me, end of verse 86. Help me. When will I know your comfort, O God? When will I experience your encouragement and consolation? So, the psalmist, much like us in difficult days, isn't he? He says, this is where I'm at. These are my questions, God. These are my questions. And then we see him cry out to God with a plea. He entreats God. In verse 88, quicken me. When you see that word quicken, just think revive. Give me life. Revive me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. So the psalmist, he says, this is where I'm at. These are my questions, God. This is my plea. Please apply. Now listen to this. Please apply your loving kindness upon me and revive me. So in this prayer, in this plea, we see the psalmist recognizing a truth. And that truth is this. My God is full of loving kindness. Now that's an amazing truth when you think of how blinded, exhausted he is. But my God is full of loving kindness. Oh God, apply that loving kindness upon me and my life. And I know it will breathe new energy into my soul. Now that's a brief explanation of these eight verses. It's my best effort that I can do to help us understand where the psalmist is at. And now, application-wise, there's much more I think we need to know and what we need to cling on, hold on to as we go from this place. Because we are going to find ourselves in difficult times such as this. We will. Some of you may be in them right now. Some of you might have gone through one. Some of you, yours is just around the corner. I know that's morbid to say or think about, but the reality is that there are trials and struggles in this life. I want us to notice the positive truths in this psalm. Because so far, it's kind of a heaviness, isn't there? It's like a distress. Notice these positives. Look at verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I what? What is it? Say it out loud. I hope in thy word. Throughout this psalm, yes, he's speaking words of distress. Yes, he's in a great struggle. But what do you see the psalmist continually doing throughout this psalm? He is going back to the word. He is going back to the scriptures. Much like in that movie, Betsy, when she would come back and she would open that scriptures and they would read it again. It was incredible hardships going on. But they found hope in God's word. And so therefore, dear ones, may we find that hope. We look for it, don't we? And we must look for it in the right place, the word of God. So there's hope. I find hope in thy word. Secondly, verse 83, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not, what? I do not forget thy statutes. What's the positive? I remember God's statutes. Not only do I hope in thy word, I remember God's statutes. So as we're going through difficult times and difficult days, may we remember the things that God has poured into our lives beforehand. You know, we come to church, we get taught the word of God, and you know, maybe the word today isn't applying directly to you, but man, next week it might. You know, and that's the beauty of God's word, and that it's poured into our lives, and our lives are just continually being filled up with it on a daily basis and a weekly basis here at church. And so therefore, we are equipped with all of these truths, these statutes of God. We need to remember them. Remember them in the dark days. I hope in thy word. I remember thy statutes. Thirdly, I believe all God's commandments are, what's it say? Look at verse 86. All thy commandments are what? Faithful. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe that you see the psalmist here expressing a faith, expressing a firm belief that the commandments that God has given, they're true. They're true. They're faithful. They are right on. Believe them, dear ones. In dark times, in difficult days, the temptation will be this. I read a command or instruction or a truth in God's word, and the temptation will be to doubt it. The temptation will be to say, look at my circumstance. God, where are you? Right? We need to equip ourselves with these truths, hope in God's word, remember God's word, believe all his commandments are true. Fourthly, the psalmist embraces God's precepts. He embraces them. Look at verse 87. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. The psalmist, he didn't abandon God's truth, he embraced them. In other words, here was God's truth, it was before him, and he held tightly to them. Fifthly, I know thy loving kindness. Look at verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness. You know, he wouldn't have prayed a prayer like that If he didn't know that his God was a God of loving kindness, would he? You know, we pray because we understand certain things about God, and that helps us when we pray. And the psalmist here, as he prays, he is identifying a truth that he has been taught about God, and that is God is a loving, kind God. He is truly compassionate and merciful and kind. And boy, you know, if you read the first part of that, you would say, boy, it would be a hard time to look at God and say, you're merciful, you're compassionate, you're kind. But see, the difficult days and the dark times and struggles in our lives do not negate the truth about who God is. He's still the same. He remains faithful. And so we need to know the loving kindness of God. And finally, we need to obey. We need to obey God's testimonies. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, verse 88, and so shall I keep thy testimony of thy mouth. Another way that you could read that there is, I will keep, or I will observe, or I will guard the testimonies of thy mouth. The psalmist here, he's making a choice. And so do we. We've got to make a choice. What we're going to believe, what we're going to know, what we're going to embrace, what we're going to obey. And the psalmist says, I will obey thy testimonies. Now, as I was studying this, I found myself, as a pastor, I do seek to help and encourage people. So I found this to be a very helpful passage to me as I seek to encourage others. And not just myself, but other people. And I believe God wants us to equip us, not just for ourselves tonight, but for the brother and sister that you might know that's struggling. The person that God places beside you who is seeking help and crying out for help, and you're their friend. We see the psalmist saying some very difficult things, and his faith must have been strong. But sometimes God might call upon us to come alongside a brother or sister struggling and seek to help them. How can we help them? Listen, there's three things here tonight. We can help them to continually speak words of hope. Not only are we to speak words of hope to them, but we need to help them speak words of hope. You know very well when you're having a difficult day, it's difficult and challenging to speak words of hope, even to think about hope. You see the psalmist here, he asks this question, when will you comfort me? He did not say, will you ever comfort me? What's the difference? One recognizes there's a truth about God. He is a comforting God and he will bring comfort sometime. The other question is, I doubt if God's a God of comfort, and I hope he shows me comfort, but I don't know if he ever will. There's a great, big difference there. And we need to be people of hope. We need to leave people and encourage people with hope. Help them to ask the right questions, to word them in the right way, to speak statements that are statements of hope. When will you comfort me? Secondly, we need to help them to continually cling to God's word. The psalmist throughout this struggle is consistently turning back to the word of God. Even though he may be struggling with doubts, or maybe he can't fully grasp the truth and embrace it, he knows that's where the truth is. And so that's where he's turning. And that's where he's turning. And sometimes, dear ones, we need to stand with a brother, stand with a sister, and say, turn with me to the word. Turn with me to the Word. I know you may not feel like it today, but let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Word. Allow God's Word to be a constant in their life. In other words, there should be a steady diet of the Word of God in a believer's life when they're struggling, especially. Because we see and we learn from this chapter alone that the Word of God is sufficient for all things. And so it's sufficient for the case that you're in, and it's sufficient for the case that your friend may be in. So help them to continually speak words of hope. Help them, secondly, to continually cling to God's Word. And thirdly, help them to see and to speak truth. Truth. What is true? It is very easy for us when we are challenged or finding things difficult, we begin to believe lies and we begin to speak things that aren't necessarily true. And when we begin to speak those things that are not true, they begin to lead us down a road of discouragement further and further away from God. And dear ones, as we help people, we need to help them see the truth and speak the truth. Here's a couple thoughts for us as we close. When we help them to see and speak the truth, I have five things that we could start with. First of all, we help them to see that there is hope in God's Word. Not only do you see that in this passage, but you also see this in verse 43 of the same chapter. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Look at verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Look at verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Listen, help people see there is hope in God's word. Help them to see also that there is comfort in God's word. Look at verse 52 of this same chapter. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. The psalmist wouldn't write something if it wasn't true like that. I'm comforted by God's judgments. Verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. There's a passage in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, where it says this, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Help them to see that there's hope in God's word. Help them to see the truth that there's comfort in God's word. Help them to see the truth that the wicked will be judged for what they do. Sometimes we feel like they just get away with highway robbery, and many times they do. But there is judgment day coming. And may we not get so wrapped up in the judgment of these people, for they will be judged. And dear ones, the result is a sad one. Revelation tells us about that. Because they will be cast forever into the lake of fire. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 through 11 say this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on the eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Help them to know, see the truth. There's hope in God's word. The truth that there's comfort in God's word. The truth that the wicked will one day be judged. The truth, fourthly, that all God's commandments are faithful and true. Again, you see this in Psalm 119, 128. Look at this. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Look at 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Look at 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the, what's it say? Truth. 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 15 through 17. Very familiar piece of scripture. Says this, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now listen to the sufficiency of God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Help people to see the truth that all of God's commands are faithful and true. And finally, God is full of loving kindness. Listen to this passage in Psalm 25, verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. God is a merciful, compassionate God. That is the truth. So whether tonight you feel like a bottle in the smoke, or maybe you know somebody that's going through a difficult time like that, God's word is sufficient to be of help. And I trust that these truths tonight will be a help to you, an encouragement to you in your own walk, in your own life. But take this and use it to help others too. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your truth, for your word, and for teaching us tonight. And again, I say this every week, but you amaze me. You amaze me by the wonderful things that you have here and how you long so much to open our eyes to your truth. And God, it is such a privilege tonight to be privy to some of these things that you are revealing to us. And now, God, take us and help us to be messengers of these truths to the suffering people around us, those that are in despair or discouragement. And I pray these things in your name. Amen.